Here's Ed Taylor with today's episode of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast.
Hey, welcome again to the Lead to Serve podcast. I hope you enjoyed our time with Pastor Bob Claycamp. It was so good. My name is Ed Taylor, and I pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. I always like to give our contact information up front so you can connect with me. You can email me through the website edtaylor.org, edtaylor.org, or you can send me a text, 720-608-0012, and that will get to me, and we can talk about what the Lord is doing and answer any questions you might have. We are in the midst of season three, going over the principles of ministry in a resource we developed here at Calvary that we titled Sure and Steady. And the subtitle is Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. And we will be using the word pastor frequently because it's a tool to disciple men in the realm of eldership, pastoral ministry, but also it is a tool for ministry in general, that you can take these principles and apply them through across the board in every area of ministry. So I'd encourage you, stick around with us, come along with us as we go over these principles. And along the way, we're going to pause on different topics and invite people to come and be a part of the discussion. But today I want to talk about the topic of making a commitment to know the state of your flock. Make a commitment to know the people in your church. That is a very important principle. Even if you pull back a little bit and say, I need to know people in order to serve people. But the book here says, a pastor knows the state of God's flock. And so a pastor, a spiritual leader, should care. And part of caring is knowing how the people are doing. An effective and fruitful pastoral ministry is highly relational. And again, this is a principle that's repeated a few times because ministry is people, and it is God's will and Jesus' example that we are among the flock, that God is using us to minister across the board with people, to people, and among people. In Proverbs 27:23, it says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Ezekiel 34:1 says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And feeding the flocks mean that you're close to them, that you're taking care of them. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Knowing the state of the church is very important, knowing the people that God has called you to serve. Why is this important? Because I've seen and I've watched men in ministry think that it's not their job to be with the people, and they think it's not their role to walk alongside. All they want to do is teach. All they want to do is read books. All they want to do is go to school, get a degree, and not do where the meat of ministry is. The meat of ministry is not in knowledge. The meat of ministry is with people, walking alongside of them, serving them. Jesus exemplified this characteristic as he was constantly, continually among the people. And if you're going to be effective, you need to check in on, you need to continue to be proactive, if you will, in knowing how the folks that God has called you to serve are. That includes visiting them, includes having coffee with them, it includes texting them, emailing them, it includes ministering to them, being at the hospital with them, as much as possible, serving among the community of believers of which you and I are a part of. You and I are a part of the church, which leads us to the next point, and that is, as we're among the flock, we're to make disciples. That's our role. Our role is to go into all the world and make disciples. And this is a joy and opportunity for us to regularly make disciples of Jesus. And there's a couple things to consider here. First of all, we're not making disciples of ourselves. The Great Commission that's given by Jesus is that while you're on the way, you're making disciples. A pastor's role, a spiritual leader's role, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You're either making disciples or you're not. And men will often join a church team and come alongside and take spiritual leadership and forget that just because they have a new responsibility or title or whatever, they forget that their responsibility is to build up the body of Christ, to get people's eyes on the Lord, to look at, and this is an application that I like to develop, and that is every moment is, and I quote, a discipleship moment, end quote. Every situation is an opportunity to grow someone in Christ, to teach someone in Christ. Every opportunity, you know, mistakes, difficulties, all across the board, we have opportunity to point people to the Lord, encourage them in the Lord, strengthen them in the Lord, and help them grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So every moment is a discipleship moment. You'll either be building up a disciple, a follower of Christ, or neglecting them. And with the joy and privilege of raising up new servants, teaching them the ministry, taking them alongside of you. I don't remember the exact order, but I'm going to say it like I remember it. I remember hearing someone say that discipleship is like, I do it, you watch. You do it, I watch. We do it, and then we develop and, you know, comment on it, and then you do it, and someone else watches, and it gets reproduced. I'm sure I butchered that, but the idea is that you're with your ministry with one another. You're serving with one another. And can I just say that there are some listening, or maybe you're listening and it's directly applicable to you, or you some listening that have folks in your life that purposely avoid people. Purposely avoid people. That is not the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to purposely avoid people. Now, I know we get tired. I know it gets hard. I know it gets super challenging. That's true. But to avoid people is to neglect. Well, let me back up. To avoid people is to disobey God's direction in our lives. He has put us in the midst of people to serve people, and we're to make disciples. Matthew 28:19. And even Ephesians 4, verse 11, remember it says that he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, why? Evangelists, pastors, teachers, why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And that doesn't only take place when you teach the Bible. We're part of a fellowship family here that kind of we've been taught, well, you know, discipleship happens in the pulpit. Discipleship happens in the pulpit. Yes, 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 that's true. Much of the discipleship of the church happens in the pulpit when we are teaching the word systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, where there's an exposition of the text. But for that 45 minutes after that, when the pastor comes out of the pulpit, that's discipleship too. We're either making disciples or we're not. And I want to remind you that as you're ministering the gospel, you and I have the privilege of pouring into people's lives, which brings me to the next point that I want to share today, and that is that one of the responsibilities that we have among the church that we're a part of and serving is that we are regularly loving and encouraging the flock, because we're among them, right? We're regularly loving and encouraging them so that we might maintain an atmosphere of love. And this is where I want to spend most of our time today, because the atmosphere of love, the agape love of God, that there just isn't any other place that's demonstrated like that than the church. Now, of course, because you're the church, wherever you go, you can infuse the agape love of God into a situation. You can have an atmosphere of love in your home. But like, you know, when you go to work and you're at work in the office and you don't really own the atmosphere, you don't really have an ability to affect the overall atmosphere, but your presence infuses the love of God. But I'm talking about the church. The church, somebody should walk into the church and feel the love. Isn't that great? Somebody should walk into the church and feel the love of God radiating among the saints. And we as leaders, we set the tone. And so as we're given opportunities to serve and love people, it's vital that we choose to step into these openings with love and grace. And as a spiritual leader, you can create a loving environment by encouraging one another, by praying, by checking in, by lovingly serving your church, and truly walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Because the alternative can happen, right? The alternative can happen where you are, you know, complainer, you're a murmurer, you know, you're like, I don't like this either. You know, somebody comes to you and says, I don't like such and such. And then you're like, well, I don't like it either. Well, that's not helpful for the kingdom. It's not that you can't not like something, of course. But what's going to be helpful for the kingdom? What's going to be helpful for the kingdom is to help resolve a situation while pointing someone to the Lord and not feeding their flesh by demonstrating your own flesh. You know what I mean? Like, God has brought you in and entrusted you the care over his flock. And as you walk along making disciples, you will have the opportunity to influence the environment, And I just know there have been times in our church here where I walk in and I can just feel the love. And there have been other times where I walk in and I'm just not feeling it. Something's going on, some situation's happening, and you know, I get bummed out about it. And there have been times, even as a pastor, where I've made the mistake of ruining the environment. Well, it's not like the love of God isn't there. It's not like he's left us or abandoned us, but you know how it is. You know, if I'm in a sour mood and I come in and I share that sour mood, people are looking to me. They're looking for me to lead them. They're looking for me to love them and serve them. And if I'm all upset, I had an argument with my wife or situation I'm upset about, or I'm mad about something or something didn't get done, I can really sour the mood. You know, this happened recently with me personally, where I was talking with one of the brothers and he had brought in a problem and he was explaining the problem to me and it frustrated me. I'm sure as he watched me, he could see my frustration level rising, because I could certainly see it, and I was frustrated over it. It had nothing to do with the brother. The brother did exactly what he's supposed to do. It was something that affected us. It wasn't like his mistake. It was just a situation. But I felt my frustration level rising, and then I began to talk to him about it in a frustrated manner. And you know, he's very patient. And in the midst of that, the Lord stopped me. And I paused to explain, and then we just like, no, that this is, you know, I'm upset, but I'm not going to let it upset me. And I needed to, and I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, because I needed to remember that this brother needed ministry too. He was frustrated, and I could make the situation even worse. Like, let's just say he comes in at a level 5, and this could be anyone walking in the church, right? They come in a level 5, they're frustrated, beat up, bad day. I think I see that a lot on our midweek Bible study on Wednesdays, as people come in, because it's half the week and it's probably already been three difficult days at work or 3 days of no sleep or whatever it might be. And they're coming in at a level 5. And if I come in at a level five and I'm frustrated and I don't minister to them or whatever that might be, then I'm gonna take them to a level 10. And I don't want that in their lives. I want to take them back to a place where they're worshiping and enjoying and encouraging. So I need to learn to encourage myself in the Lord. But that atmosphere of love, it's us. We set the tone. I guess that's really the real important thing for you to understand. You set the tone, and your attitude matters. And I know as we've been going through season 3, these things are real simple, aren't they? They're not way out there, like you have to read some John Maxwell book on how to learn how to lead. You don't. These are simple things the Holy Spirit gives to us so that we might serve his church well. And one of the ways is to remember that we set the tone. You know, we don't want to stand around ignoring people. We don't want to stand around neglecting people. We don't want to stand around not being involved in people's lives, but like the situations around us, the Bible says, blessed are, Jesus said this, you know, the Bible says it, Jesus said it, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Or Colossians chapter 3, bear with one another, forgive one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Put on love, because as we come into the congregation with love, we're going to continue to grow in God's grace. We're going to continue to be used by him. And that's our heart's desire, isn't it? That's what we want. We want to remember that God is with us and we get to grow in grace. We want to grow together. Let me give you another one. We have a responsibility to serve one another as leaders, right? Like, you know how churches can get really cliquey and certain groups can hang out with one another, and that it's sad. It's always wrong. It's always sad. If you're a part of a cliquey thing, then stop it. Open up the doors. Invite people in. Don't isolate yourself in some little clique. And spiritual leaders do the same thing. Now that they're leaders, they can go behind the stage. Ooh, and they can be in the green room. Ooh, and they have certain privileges that are afforded to them. And then they stay away from the church. They stay away from people. It's just wrong in every way. And one of the things that I've seen over time is that when we become spiritual leaders, or leadership is given to us and we have new responsibilities and new oversight, we forget that we are to pastor and shepherd and lead one another too. We are to lead one another too. Now, you know, I tell the pastors that serve here as assistant pastors, you know, we're real pastors. I mean, that assistant pastor isn't a less position. It's just a role. Pastors are pastors. And we as pastors need to pastor one another. And we as spiritual leaders need to continue to shepherd one another, correct one another, instruct one another, rebuke one another, whatever it is. We need to continue to serve one another in the Lord. We represent Jesus to everyone. And we're co-laborers serving one another no matter what our title is. And when a man or woman joins a ministry team, it's easy to forget that your role is to serve everyone. Just because you're a group with spiritual leaders, you know, now we're home fellowship leaders, or we're Sunday school teachers, or we're pastors, or we're elders, and we're like, okay, we got this little group and we're going to serve them, but we're not going to serve one another. And I just don't want you to forget, your call is to serve everyone, and we're to shepherd and pastor everyone. You know, when there's, you know, serving with the men in our fellowship, you know, they are a level of accountability to me. If they see something, you know, kind of like the government's right now at the airports, if you see something, say something. Well, that's true in the church. It's always been true in the church. If you see something, say something. Let's talk about it. And not only say something, but then on the other end, let's receive it. Let's be open to someone sharing what they see, what they observe in our lives, so that we can grow together instead of being all offended and upset. Or better yet, you're like, well, he's a pastor. I can't tell him anything. Well, of course you can. And you should, in love. You know, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, that word exhort is that the Greek word parakaleo. You know, it's probably the verb tense of that. But the idea is we encourage, we exhort, we come alongside so that we remain open to be used by God in each other's lives. And so as we're maintaining this atmosphere of love, as we're growing in grace together, as God is using us, we want to help one another and not just think, oh, you know what, I'm part of the club. No, there's no club to be a part of. Let's just get that out of our mind, or that person's untouchable. Nobody in the body of Christ is untouchable. Nobody in the body, I don't care what their title is, what their position is, we all need to be ministered to. We all need to have input. We need to be, as the Proverbs say, iron sharpens iron. Because again, not only is shepherding the flock relational, but ministry's relational. And it's spiritual first. And there are times when we need to speak up and speak out. Again, let me be clear. It's not like, not to hurt someone, not to be a jerk about it. I mean, I don't know. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. And the heart is always to win a brother. The heart is always to help a sister. The heart is like, I love you. and I see this and we serve together and I know that you have authority over me, or I know that we're both leaders together, but I love you and I want to tell you the truth and I want to grow with you. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to make fun of you. I don't want to belittle you. I don't want to take advantage of you. I just want to point you to the Lord. And it is a joy and a privilege to speak the truth, to speak encouragement, to speak hope, even correction, mild rebukes in each other's lives. And we can never forget that God has put us on the planet as we serve. I mean, you think about all these things we just talked about at work. All right, let's think about that. How do you know the state of the flock at work? Well, you know the people you work with. You step into their lives. You check in on them on their birthdays, or if they just experience a divorce, or they having car trouble, or they're having difficulties getting someone to watch the kids. You know them. And even if necessary, you take little notes so you don't forget them. And you just remember, you know, Mary needs prayer. And set a little reminder on your phone every 4 or 5 days. Pray for Mary. Check in on Mary. And that way you're always continually knowing what it is for the state of the place where you're at, whether you're at work, whether you are on the ball field, you know, playing softball with the guys, whether you're at the car club, you know, wherever, whatever it is you're doing, God has made you the man, the woman that He is wants you to be. And especially in the church. I mean, the church needs to be the church. There's just no other way around it. The church needs to be the church. And we have the privilege of stepping into people's lives. Ministry is relational, relational, relational. Never forget that. Well, we run out of time today and appreciate you sticking around. Please share this with someone. Leave a little review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps to get the word out, you know, and change how people are searching and finding things. And, you know, leave a positive review. If you have any questions for me, or maybe we could serve you in some way, just email me. Email me through the website, edtaylor.org, edtaylor.org. You can also text me, 720-608-0012. Also through social media. We've got all the social media, you know, that you can think of, so you can contact us that way as well. I'd encourage you to get the app for our church. The app for our church is the calvaryco.church. That's our website. And then if you just put my name in the app store, you can find our free app. We communicate so much extensively through the app. And we'd love to connect with you, stay in touch. If you have a question that you want answered, I'm open to that too. Like, hey, Ed, how do you do this? And what do you think about this? And I'm planning a church, and what do we do? I'd love to talk about those things too. And that'll probably be season 4. We'll just be dealing with questions that have come in that we can talk about and involve different aspects of those answers. So thanks for joining us. Until next time. Make sure that you keep your eyes on the Lord, that you're among the flock, serving the Lord with joy and gladness. And man, what a blessing it is to be a small part of the huge work that God is doing in your life. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.